When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Go ahead.
Give it to us. Here we are.
Bing, 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 bing.
On a Sunday in Game 7 against the Milwaukee Bucks, the Celtics came to work, led by the foreman today, Grant Williams. We're going to call him the foreman out there on the floor. Just absolute show in the second half. I can't figure out what the Bucks' strategy was. We'll get into it. I guess the strategy was let Grant Williams eat, and the man ate. The man had Sunday dinner today.
The strategy was work.
Grant Williams had a venison dinner today, John.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I like that. The strategy was exactly what worked in the first quarter, which is we will give you all the Derek White, that's Grant cool. Williams, and Daniel that's Tice, cool. yeah, threes that you want, and we just don't think you're going to hit them. I'll give you anything. I'll give you any shot taken by someone not whose name doesn't start with
strategy,
the letters.
Cotton.
So whose name doesn't start with the letters J-A-Y. That's it. That's what they gave him. And it worked because Grant was ice cold. White, again, you survived some tight minutes there when Al got in. Well, it did in the first bit. And then I do believe, and I'm curious what you guys in the chat think, I do believe Milwaukee ran out. Two things happened. They ran out of gas, and they just ran out of tricks. Like this, without Middleton, this entire series was Bud trying to find combos that would work. And every time, every game the Celtics played like ass for a stretch, you would look up and you'd watching the game, you would feel like they should be down 20 and they'd be down 4 or 6 every freaking time.
Yep.
And that they just changed like, everything. Somebody just completely tricked me.
Let's go. Hey.
Said he wasn't coming on and then came
What's
on.
Up, Kelly?
Didn't you What's just tell up? Me you weren't coming on, or was this the last game?
I wanted to kind of a build up. Okay. We're down and out. I'm okay. Here. Unexpected. I want to keep true to the Celtics tradition, man.
Hey.
Give you the unexpected. Keep you guessing.
You kept me guessing anyway.
We got to get Eastern Conference Finals charade this week. Wow, he's back. He's back to what he knows, you know?
Yeah.
He's getting ready.
This was a hell of a game. Oh, my goodness. We absolutely have to do the Grant Williams apology cam for this. This is what has to happen today. I will lead the Grant Williams apology cam brigade when he gave us Kelly Olynyk Game 7 play today. This was Kelly Olynyk Game 7 a few years ago.
Okay, here's the thing. I will do
here's
it.
Here's the thing. John won't do it.
Do it. I will do it grudgingly. No, I will do it because – personally, I'm not doing it because of this game. It's long overdue. Grant, we flat out said, led by me, Grant Williams is barely a pro, okay? And I'm not doing it. I do not ride streaks because, honestly, he had 0 points twice this series. So right. We're not doing the, oh, Tice played 11 good minutes, apology cam nonsense. We don't do that here.
Right.
We don't ride. We don't do Bobby's small sample sizes. Grant Williams did this through the course of a year. He shot well from three. He played ridiculous defense against two of the top three MVP vote getters when given the opportunity this season in Jokic and Giannis. He's exactly what they needed because they needed somebody to provide shooting, and he did. And I'm glad today, first off, I guess, let's do this. It's better to do it when Bobby's not here, right?
Well, John, I mean, I know he didn't, have anything to do with the votes, but when you talk about most improved players, I mean, again, this is a guy that I don't think we were that far off by saying, like, this guy barely belongs in the league based on the way he was playing to start his career.
We weren't, but he proved us wrong.
But we were wrong. I mean, this guy clearly belongs. Exactly, and credit to him because I'm sure he worked like hell to get to this point in his career where he is a threat, a 3-point threat. I mean, I guess
all of us.
The Bucks didn't seem to think he would be a threat. They dared a 40% 3-point shooter to shoot, and he shot. And he started getting hot in the second half, and, you know, hand up. You know, we were all wrong about that. And listen, the apology cam goes into all these people in the chat who are telling us to apologize, because I didn't know one Celtics fan who wanted to see Grant Williams on the court last year. Okay, so the man proved everybody wrong, not just us. So credit to him. Hand up. I apologize.
And my big apology is for not really understanding what Grant could do when it mattered most. Because we're not exaggerating. He's had a lot of crappy games as a Celtic. But in the game that mattered more than any other game, the game that would literally determine their fate going forward, he stepped up like no one else did. And that, I'm sorry for doubting that he could make the most of this moment, because clearly he's a guy that when the opportunity arises, we know now that he can meet that moment and be successful. We didn't know that before.
He's got the mental makeup. And you know what? He showed a lot of leadership this year too, especially in the beginning of the season when we were all on the Celtics because nobody wanted to really step up and be the captain or really lead the team. And it felt like Grant was the one guy that was speaking up and speaking out and being a guy that could, you know, really sort of put the team on the right track. And so he's not just doing it on the court. I do have a feeling that he is a big part of the team off the court. And I think they all like him. I think they all, you know, look to him. I'm not saying look up to him. He's, you know, they're all relatively similar in age. But he's a player that's proven that he belongs, you know. And tonight was, you know, great for him. I don't know anyone who couldn't be happy to see him play the way he did today after, you know, the work that he's put in and where he's come from in his career. You know, and I'm sure he's extremely Grant's the type of guy that will probably remind everyone around him how well he played today too. I have a feeling that he's not going to let the people closest to him forget his performance today. So
it's just going
to
be yapping away.
You see that block on Portis? What do you think of that block on Portis? You know what I mean? Like, that's probably the coolest play he had all day. And that was unbelievable. It was just good for Grant. So yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll admit it. You know, we were wrong about Grant, and happy to be wrong, by the way. We want these guys to play well. We want them to succeed. We don't want to see
Jimmy, you know, I don't mean to freeze on you, buddy. I'm trying to get it off you.
Thank God, dude. I was like, I'm good. Like,
it just stuck on me.
Way too much, Jimmy.
I said my piece. I don't
No, I didn't mean to stay there. The button just wouldn't come off you.
Now you put it on you now. No, put it on you.
I'm afraid it'll never come off.
Good. It shouldn't when it's on you. You'll never, because you never want to wear it.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that. I'm glitchy, Jimmy. I'm not doing this to you. This was a total muck up. But yes,
you know, it lives forever on the internet. So great. Thanks.
Yes. Anyway, so look, we did it. We did it.
We're done.
We just apologize. I mean, I haven't really, but you guys did, and I was here.
We know.
Yeah, bullshit. I somehow get the solo apology can. I don't know. I became the.
I did not mean to do that.
It just happened.
Let me say this too. Speaking of the apology cam, this better be coming out later when one Bobby Manning comes on the show, because he had some very bold predictions regarding the way the series was going to play out after the Celtics lost Game 5 that he's going to need to own up to. And I know there's a lot of people on my Twitter.
Oh my God, sex bots are back!
That are trying to get him to apologize. Oh God, not the bots.
Should I post them?
I'm not going anywhere near the comments.
Jimmy, what's the protocol here? Do you post them or do you block them?
You should try to block them, but it's very tough.
I did. I blocked them.
Coming up quick, you know, and like sometimes you hit the wrong button.
They come quick. The sex bots weren't going to miss Game 7. We knew that.
No, they've been waiting for it, and they're going to be loud and proud for the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh my God, sex bots and the Miami sex bots are going to be friggin' steamy.
Oh my God. Hey,
oh my goodness gracious.
Miami Bobby? Are we going to get Miami Bobby?
We might. I got to buy him a whole new wardrobe for Miami.
He needs to wear
okay?
white, right? Like just like a white linen suit to the game. Maybe a fedora. Can we get him all that stuff?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
We need all that stuff.
Oh man.
Hey, so shout fair out to, enough. We
who
did
else
it.
Are we shouting out today?
Wait, apology great. Cam Grant. We thought nothing of you. Like nothing of you.
Literally,
we thought you were washed.
You didn't matter. Like you
like
literally
nothing.
Didn't matter.
Like we can't, and honestly, you know, I'm still not convinced that we're not gonna be looking for someone in the offseason who might sneak into some of your minutes there. But is he starter Grant? I don't know. Is he a useful NBA player? 1,000%. And what we were saying about him last year was, I don't want to see him play a single minute. So at the very least, he's proved he's useful. And He has a role on this team. And honestly, in this series, he had a huge role in this one. So they needed him. It's a thin bench, man. And you needed everything Grant's given you throughout the year and here in the playoffs and against this team and against Giannis. So hats off to Grant. He was friggin' awesome today. And yes, he had his Kelly Olynyk game. And that was terrific. So we love Grant.
We love Grant.
Huh?
Buck Hunter.
Yeah, it's Buck Hunter. That's a good one. You've had a couple good ones. Eating venison, Buck Hunter.
Yeah, came to work. He had that Sunday dinner today, venison on the menu. And he came back
I like it all. Right. Is Sherrod still there or frozen? I can't tell.
Sherrod knows I'm quick with the headlines. I used to headline his articles all the time.
I do. He's pretty
good. Headline. He's not bad. He's not bad.
Got him in me.
I just can't get over how played. It's just
they didn't give him
they gave it to him and he had to take it and he just kept taking it. They dared him all game long, right? And then he had that stretch where, I mean, law of averages, at the end of the day, the percentage wasn't outstanding, was it? What was it? What was the final percentage
for him? Or
seven
for
20
for him?
Yeah, so he shot like 35, or no, 7 for 18.
It's not great. He shot 20 friggin' threes, but they gave it to him. And
No. What are you talking about?
Oh, you're talking about Grant?
How many threes did he shoot? Yeah.
Grant was 7 for 18.
He took 18.
7 for 18 threes, okay.
It's still a damn high number.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Like more than basically, he shot more threes than, let's see, the starting five took 22 total outside of Grant. So he basically shot as many as Tatum, Horford, Brown, and Smart combined. Four less than they did. So,
what do we think about, the rest of the team today? You know, Tatum, I thought, you know, even though with the battle of the foul troubles,
weird game from him, right?
It was weird because when he was on, he looked on. Like I was like, silky out there. Can't hear you, John. Can't hear you. Sherrod, you there?
Still can. Yeah, I'm here. I can hear you.
I got Sherrod. I don't have to go solo. Sherrod, what do you think about Tatum's performance today? And really, I mean, solid. Anybody that on top of him.
I mean, Tatum, he was solid. I didn't think he was spectacular. And I thought they were going to need spectacular Tatum, something close to top five Tatum. This was more like top 25 Tatum today. You know, 7 for 14 shooting, had 23 points, had eight assists. But I think he turned the ball over like 6-7 times. So it was a good game, not a great game.
I mean, the foul trouble kind of got to him a little bit. Obviously, he had three, and then he had the fourth one there that was pretty controversial, I thought. I mean, that was a straight-up bad call. I'm not going to talk about the refs, but I think he did, you know, I think he, like you said, top 25 type of a play. But he was in and out. Like, he did hit some shots when they needed him. Like, the threes were falling at certain points, and, you know, I thought he was solid out there. Pritchard. How about Pritchard? Pritchard coming off the bench.
We're on to Pritchard already?
Dude, Pritchard was huge today.
Pritchard was huge. Grant gets the headlines. Well, pretty well-rounded team effort when you look at everything, both in terms of points, but even shots. Like, you know, there wasn't a lot of hero ball here. I actually thought for a period of time there, Tatum maybe kind of should have forced the issue because he looked like he couldn't miss. Then that little teeny bout of immaturity where he turned the ball over and then the dumb foul that was his third foul. Then he gets the ridiculous fourth foul called, which wasn't a foul. But he'd wasted one earlier just being pouty, you know, like, and that took him out of the game. Everything counts. All of these moments count. We said it beforehand. I'll say it again. Knock it off, man. Just.
I'm not doing this today.
I'm saying just knock that stuff off because he was playing. He took himself out. He couldn't miss, and he took himself out for a stretch of time. That was the game right there. That's where Milwaukee could have come back, and the Celtics manned up and had a ballsy effort there at the end of that third quarter, and were able to not only survive but extend the lead without your best player on the floor for 7.5 minutes. So hats off to the Celtics for everything that they did there. But come on, man, with Tatum, don't put yourself in that position. You play hard. You have a tough defensive assignment. You draw some fouls, so be it. But you can't give those frustration fouls away because you're grumpy that you turned the ball over. you're too friggin' important to take yourself off the court. So again, get rid of it. Get it out of your system. Shake it off, you know? But that third quarter run there, did anybody see that coming when Tatum went down? And what were they up? 11 points when he left, and I think it was 16 when he left at when the quarter ended. That was incredible.
Yeah, they held strong without him, which was that was pretty much the game right there, that stretch of time. You're like, oh, here we go. You know, this is where the Bucks can make their dent in things. And you know, credit to the Seas, you know, Jaylen Brown kind of.
Look at this.
What?
If I can get it on the screen. Does this count?
No.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that's really him. I'd be stunned if he even said that. We are
going to the sex bot. We're going to be Bobby. That's what that is.
Yeah.
No, that third quarter, John, that was the difference right there. You know, being able to sort of withstand that timeout, and then they got Tatum right back in the game to start the fourth, and he was able, you know, once you get to the fourth quarter, you can be a little bit more aggressive. You know, knowing that you've made it to that point in the game, so. It was good to see them, you know, kind of get through there. And I even tweeted it. I mean, you guys watched the game. I mean, the Celtics were up 5 at half after playing what I thought was a pretty average at best first half. So all they had to do was just play good basketball, and they were going to pull away in this game. Like the Bucks, like we've pretty much said in every single game, they didn't have the ability to pull ahead in really any game this series. They just didn't have the depth. They didn't have the capabilities to go on those runs to really turn a little lead into a big lead, and the Celtics would always come back, even when they weren't playing well.
That's exactly it. It's exactly it. Like it's again, that first quarter was awful, and they were still only down 6, and you're like, amazing. Right. They had, you know, that happened all series long. And again, that's the Middleton factor. That's Milwaukee's inability to ever put up enough points in bunches to separate. It was really all on Giannis and yes, we cracked 3,000 here. I love to see that between our two channels combined. For those of you first time in it here on the Garden Report, good opportunity as any to tell you, please subscribe if you haven't already. Our YouTube channels here, Celtics All Access and our CLNS main channel, which we have users and viewers split between the two. We're live here after every single game and oftentimes in between games as well, doing you know, live shows and post-game reports. And then all off-season long, we're here bringing you the latest news, trade deadlines, stuff. Obviously, it'll be free agency in the summer, draft. So make sure you keep it here. Obviously, we've at least got a few more games here in the conference finals. And honestly, I think beyond as well, but we'll get into previewing the Heat. We'll get into, like I said, I thought this was the toughest matchup they were going to have. The Middleton factor changes things a little. Miami's going to be hard, but we'll get into previewing Miami a little bit better.
It took you 2 weeks to get your Brooklyn Nets prediction.
But the Bucks, here's the thing. This was not like the Celtics won 3 double digit games in this series and pissed the game away. At the end of the day, like, I know everyone's going to play the, I don't know, with Middleton card. Honestly, I think with Middleton and the Celtics fully healthy with their starters playing every single game, would have still been probably a 7-game series. I think this was two evenly matched teams. Middleton would have made a huge difference, but the Celtics did win 3 games going away, essentially, in this one. And Milwaukee had to fight tooth and nail for their 3 wins. And one of them, the Celtics just kind of puked all over themselves late in the game and gave it to them. So yeah. I actually do, at the end of the day, as hard fought as the series went, I actually think the Celtics were in control whenever they wanted to be in control for most of it. I don't know if you guys agree.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the playoffs, fights, and even the next season futures. And don't forget that baseball is back and the start of the Major League Baseball season is finally here. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code CLNS50. To receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Do I agree if they were in control?
Yeah. But Jimmy, not listening. That's cool. Sherrod, I take it.
I thought Sherrod wanted to go first.
I did. I totally agree because, again, to just echo what John was saying, I always felt that no matter how far behind Boston was, no matter how far ahead they were, they controlled their own destiny in this game.
The whole way.
I thought they were so, to me, Milwaukee as a defending champion, I thought there were multiple times where if you're the defending champ and you're facing a feisty up-and-coming team, they could have knocked the snot out of the Celtics and they would have been a wrap. But they couldn't. They had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and they could. And when the Celtics lost, it almost felt like more of them giving the game away than Milwaukee necessarily taking it from them. Like, yep. Milwaukee didn't all of a sudden clamp down defensively. It was like basically Boston was missing open shots. You look at the just the numbers in this series, and you would not have – I don't think it would reflect that this was a seven-game series. It really felt more like this thing should have been over in six or five, yeah, in Boston's favor. But, again, that's part of the learning process when you're a team on the rise trying to figure out how to be a champion. You're going to make mistakes along the way, but can you compensate for those mistakes by finding ways to win? And they did that. And they did it in I think, one of the more unimaginable ways, and that is your bench. I mean, Derek White made one shot, but damn, it was a big one.
That was a big one.
Huge. Grant Williams, great game. Other than, I'd say, the first 5 minutes or so, he was really good after that. And Peyton Pritchard, big shots, big offensive rebounds from the smallest guy on the freaking court. They manufactured a victory that, when you look at what it took to get that win, didn't seem like it was realistically possible. And that's the scary part going forward. They're finding ways to win in ways that are not predictable. And that's one of the things that I think really gives them a great chance of beating a Miami Heat team that they're good. But again, I look at them a lot of the ways I look at Milwaukee, a very good team, but not a great team. And if you're a good team like the Celtics and you're playing another good team, you should feel great about your chances of beating them.
Yep.
You know what? That Derek White threw, that's almost like the JD Drew Grand Slam, John.
Yeah.
Kind of made it all worth it.
It's all you needed.
It was a big one.
Yeah.
It's all you needed.
Big one.
I think the Celtics, when they're playing the – listen, and this is why – and Sherrod, you couldn't make the Game 5 show. Luckily for you, that was a painful one to sit through. But we were just so disappointed in that game because we felt like the Celtics were given a gift, in this series, where they had an opportunity, not only in that game but in the series with Middleton out and just the way that they're playing, they should win. They should advance in the series. And for that, the way they lost Game 5, there was a lot of people who thought the series was over. I'm not going to name names, Bobby Manning being one. There's a lot of people that thought, they're not going to come back from this. This is a demoralizing loss. This is one that we're going to be talking about for years. This might break up the team, trade this person, trade that person. The way they responded in Milwaukee and then today tells me that they have the mental makeup. And I said this after Game 6. I said, we're going to find something out about this team one way or the other. We're either going to find out that they have what it takes, or we're going to find out that maybe they do need to make some changes, towards the top of the lineup, nobody specific, but you got to make some changes because, if you come up short in a series like this where you had many opportunities to advance and you don't, then something's wrong.
But it is true. The overreaction would be in full swing, Jimmy. You're right. Like, overreaction to losing to a Bucks team without one of its best players would have felt rough. I know Sherrod's got a boogie. Sherrod, any last thoughts before you go?
Yeah, just that we're gonna. I'm sure you guys are gonna get into
predictions. Oh, there you go, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys are gonna get into predictions at some point. Say right now, Celtics in six.
Wow.
Celtics in six.
Celtics in six. I like that a lot. Yep.
First prediction in the book.
Sherrod Blakely, make sure you follow all of his stuff. Full court. Give it to us one more time, Sherrod.
FullCourtPressBulletin.com. FullCourtPressBulletin.com.
FullCourtPressBulletin.com. Yep. He's over there doing work for Bleacher Report right now, so he's pulling double duty. Yep.
We'll see you Tuesday night.
Tuesday. You going to Miami, Sherrod? Yeah. Yes, in Miami. Yeah. He'll be there. Bobby Manning will be there. Bobby and Josue are at the Garden. They're going to join us in a little bit. We'll kind of hang out here and keep kicking it around. We might get into some Miami stuff, but Sherrod, thanks, buddy. We'll see you. Sherrod Blakely had something to do, but he wanted his voice to be heard, and I'm glad he was able to join us for a little bit tonight while we wait for the other guys to jump in here. As Nick put in the chat, Bobby's interviewing Thanasis right now.
the art of a baseline cheer, goes into it.
Talking to Thanasis.
And I'll say this about Thanasis. Tenacious defense in that final possession of the game against the Celtics. I don't know if you saw that, John, but he was right up, trying to cause the turnovers. Yeah. So
but
good for him.
As we were saying about Milwaukee before we kind of move on, and again, we'll get those guys' takes on it too. I just, all season, all series long, they were searching for it and they couldn't find it. Bud was looking for the lineups. He didn't know whether to go triple big. He couldn't do anything with the Grayson Allen, with Grayson Allen out there. Couldn't, the Celtics switching defense made it so their 3-point shooters could never get open. They never got moving. I mean, maybe one game only, but for the most part, they just couldn't get going. From behind the arc all series. The point disparity tonight was ridiculous.
It was comical, really.
And that's something where you thought if they doubled Giannis, there'd be a lot of swings to open shooters and those guys might decide the series. But the Celtics played it straight up. They just switched. They kept one guy on Giannis for the most part, and they just stayed on their guys. They got beat up a little bit on the rebounding with the lineups that they had in there, and that did cost them one game. That was huge in game five. But for the most part, this was the right thing. If you look at it over the course of a series, yes, things you were doing could have burned you at one point or another, but not enough to lose four games. And again, if you don't piss away game five the way they did, I just don't think we would have sweated this as much. But, you know, you win back-to-back elimination games, but they just did what they did. They kind of kept it going with the way that they chose to play Milwaukee. And Milwaukee was the one. And I know Ime made some switches. He got to that smaller lineup. He went single big. He put D. White there to close, which I liked. You know, he ran some three-guard sets. And there were some adjustments there. But it, like you said, Jimmy, when the Celtics did what they're supposed to do, they were just better. They were better than Milwaukee all series long. Milwaukee needed heroic efforts from Giannis just to stay alive, just to stay in this.
Totally. And, you know, the Celtics, they were the deeper team, you know. I mean, Jaylen Brown, you know, sometimes doesn't get enough credit. He had a very Jaylen Brown type game today, a little bit under the radar, but, you know, paced the team, gave them some much needed buckets when nothing was falling in that first half, especially in that first quarter. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Is this the type of game that the Celtics are going to play today? And they had like 14 points with like 2 minutes left in the first quarter. I was like, I can't do this for 48 minutes. Thank God, you know, it changed a little bit or a lot of it, especially in the second half. But, you know, Jaylen Brown is kind of like the X factor, because a lot of teams don't have that second 1A type player. You know, certainly the Bucks didn't in this series. And that's why, again, it goes back to the opportunity the Celtics were given. You have to take advantage of them. You know, maybe previous seasons they don't, you know, and that's why maybe I feel like, you know, we had some people in the chat after game five saying the Celtics, you know, Jaylen and Jason aren't ready yet. Well, why the hell aren't, why? They should.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. Right. That's right. That's stupid.
That's a stupid, you know, no offense. You're not stupid for saying it, but I just don't like that excuse. Like, they are ready. They have to be ready. This is year, whatever, six now or whatever, however it is. And they're on the second contracts. They're the leaders of this team, you know, whether people like it or not, they are the leaders of this team and will be. And this was, again, each game is the next biggest game of their careers as we go along. And they've proven that they can answer the call, step up to the challenge, blah, 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 all that stuff. Yep. And you know, obviously that's going to be even, you know, we've got a little revenge series coming up here. And the last time the Celtics and the Heat played in the Eastern Conference Finals, a lot of people thought that Celtics should have came out of that series too. And they didn't. They let you know, Butler and they let Bam dominate them, you know, and that's when Kemba got hurt and, you know, things. And at that point, you might have been able to say Tatum and Brown aren't ready. I think we'd all probably agree with that, you know, and I think losing that series was a huge learning experience to them. And if you listen to that podcast that Jason Tatum went on with JJ Redick, he specifically talked about, you know, how that series, you know, what that series kind of did to them mentally and how it made them stronger and how it kind of got him to thinking like it's very difficult to get to that position. You know, you don't want to take it for granted. You don't want to let the opportunity go by the wayside. And I think that was in their minds in this Bucks series after game five, certainly.
Kess, of course, is going to jump in here and tell us what the difference between those two teams are.
Yeah, Ime's a huge part. And I know he's speaking right now. And I think Ime's perspective on just maybe the game or maybe life, I don't know what these guys talk about outside of off the court. It does feel like they have a pretty close, comfortable relationship, not just X's and O's, but it feels like they're all playing for each other. And that was one of my hugest criticisms of this team last season, the season prior, you know, with Kyrie there. It didn't feel like they were playing for each other. It felt like they were all a bunch of individuals just trying to get theirs. And there wasn't really a purpose, an overall purpose to the team. It didn't feel like a team. And I had never been more disappointed in this franchise than I was at the end of like last season. I just felt so many things went wrong. I didn't know if anyone even wanted to be in Boston. Any players wanted to be there. I didn't know if any of the front office wanted to be there. And then like, it just got crazy towards the end of that season. Couldn't have ended soon enough. And to have it just do a complete 180 the way it is right now and have this team going into the one, going into these conference finals and be a team that everyone's rallying around and everyone actually likes and supports. This is largely the same team, but Ime is, again, a massive, massive difference. He might be the biggest difference maker over from last year. I mean, you can talk about the players they brought in, certainly, but you know, when it comes to changing, you know, sort of the vibe, I guess you could say, of the attitude of the team and the franchise, Ime's come in and done just that. He's made them believers in themselves, and he's made others believers in Celtics again.
Yeah. Well, we do believe that Bobby Manning and Josue Pavone will join us. We think Bobby is hiding because we told him he's going to open the
he's
show.
He's on the run. Yeah,
with a big fat apology cam for assuming that the Celtics were cooked. We are going to tell you
what you did, John. Look, now some people are tweeting me on the apology cam solo, like it's my own apology for the grand.
It was an accident.
Unbelievable. This will not be forgotten.
It was an accident. I could. And it wasn't. It was a group apology. Calm.com/garden. Receive 40% off a premium subscription. What is Calm? Number one sleep and meditation app out there. It's terrific. We all partake in it here on the Garden Report. Jimmy swears by it. Jimmy likes the sleep stories. Jimmy likes the rainforest sounds. We like the music. It's a good way to get your mind right and your body right, help you relax for all the challenges that you're going to have to face in a day. So make sure you go check out Calm. Yeah, here we go. Jimmy's phone.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a bunch of meditation, sleep, music, wisdom. You're looking for a little a little wisdom. You know, a Monday morning, and you're looking for a little pick me up. Fire up the Calm app, put you in the right mindset. 10 minutes. That's all it's going to take. 10 minutes to change your day around. Get your mind in the right place.
Right.
Start the day off right. We're going to need some Calm. Listen, folks, it's going to be a very hectic. Is one word that's coming to mind. It's going to be a crazy couple of weeks here. Eastern Conference Finals is no joke. Our emotions are going to be all over the place, and we're going to need something like calm.com/garden to sort of reset it.
Exactly. So again, our partners at Calm, they're team players. They want you to focus on yourself. Okay. So take a deep breath, let it out. Whatever you're holding out the tension, your tension, tune in, recenter. Calm can help. Again, number one, a meditation and mental wellness app to give you the tools that improve the way you feel. And that's what it's all about. Feeling good. Okay. Feeling calm, being centered, being ready to approach all the challenges of your day. Calm.com/garden, 40% off. Please help support our sponsors.
For us.
And check out Calm. Yeah. So once again, Celtics win this one. Yeah. We want to eat this week. Celtics win is going away. I'm not going to lie, Jimmy. I wasn't that stressed. And we said it in the thing before the game. When Bobby was like, you know, trying to inch his way back into, you know, the Celtics fans' good graces and shooting like a 30-second selfie so to absolve himself, of the loss. I'm on record. I said they're going to win, you know. He did it and then tweeted it from a burner account and deleted it, but it was on record. That he didn't, but my prediction was, I mean, if they win, I thought they were going to blow him out, or it would be a really frustrating game where everything went to shit. But I wasn't super stressed. You saw the game going again, so frustrating in that first quarter, and they just didn't. They were right there with them, and then they did the same thing they did to them last game. That second quarter, Milwaukee couldn't do anything anymore. They just don't have options. As soon as they got into their bench, they just couldn't friggin' score. It's amazing what a zero Grayson Allen was all series. And, you know, minus a few moments here and there from Portis and Connaughton, there just wasn't enough juice there. So, again, this feels like a series the Celtics should have won, possibly should have won even more easily given the Bucks' limitations, and they did. We're going to move on briefly to the Heat here. And, again, we'll get Bobby and Josue's take when they jump back in to the show here. But there's no rest here. The Heat kind of – they got things done in six games. Celtics have to turn this one around, hit the road, and play on Tuesday, game one against the Heat, Tuesday, Thursday. And they're off and running here. So I don't know what happens with Rob. He was an emergency available today, but I feel like he wasn't really ever going to play. I don't know what you're going to get there. Bam is obviously is and can be a problem here. So I'm kind of curious how this goes. Obviously, they didn't have Al Horford. They were trying to defend him with Tyson Robb and, I don't know, Tristan last time. So
Rob's going to be huge. And I mean, they're going to need
But
Rob.
Rob's important here. It would be really nice if
Rob also got freaking torched by Bam, if you recall, in that series. So this is a little revenge. This is a revenge
series. That was Rob not quite ready, you know, for prime time.
For sure. No, you know? he was definitely outclassed in that series. But, I mean, Rob's a different player today than he was 2 years ago, more so than, you know, a lot of other.
And it wasn't Tristan, yeah. Yeah, but anyway.
They just need that size. I mean, you saw today, even like Brook Lopez was doing whatever he wanted at points in this game in the first quarter. That's why I was like, I knew Rob wasn't playing because if Ime didn't turn to him at that point in that first quarter, I was like, there's just no point. There's no time he's going to turn to him because, you know, just the way that Brook was kind of getting those offensive boards, putting them back up. Tice, listen, we like Tice, but he can't seem to leave his feet. I don't know what's gone on, but
yeah, I thought that. As soon as we saw him, I'm like, what happened? This guy was way more athletic last year. I don't know what's up.
Weights in his shoes or something. I don't know. He's going to need something lighter. I don't know. He needs like a little fly.
Right. It looks like he had double knee surgery or something. He's just off. Yeah. So I joke about
wearing steel toe boots to the game, but you might want to check his sneakers, wear something a little bit lighter, get a little bit more air underneath. Because they're going to need, you know, Bam is capable. I mean, talk about defensive players. He's always in the running for defensive player.
He's there. He's a terrific defensive player. Offensively, he kind of disappeared in the, not fully, but he had a couple, couple not great offensive games. Obviously, he didn't have to contend with Embiid. He had a couple duds in the Atlanta series too. So he's been a little inconsistent there. But again, Miami's one of those teams where, you know, they get offense from different guys on different nights. It's not always the same person. They're deep, man. And every Max Strus three that falls, we're going to be like, oh, you just let that guy friggin' walk, huh? So, I mean, this is a classic series between two teams that are teams, you know, and play like teams. So it's just a matter of like, you know, the Celtics. And again, we saw this already. We saw what a game against the Heat would look like without Rob late in the year. And it was very competitive and it was very frustrating. And the Heat out executed and were able to win that game at the Garden not soon after Rob went down with his injury. But again, I do think Rob is huge here. I hope he does, you know, I hope he can suit up and be, you know, be somewhat close to his normal self.
Well, you know what, John, the difference, the biggest difference between this
and the Lowry question, I don't know what's going on with him. He's got the bad hammy. So again, we're not really sure what we're going to get out of these guys. Yeah.
But what the Bucks didn't have, the Heat have, and that's a really legitimate scoring threat off the bench in Tyler Hero, sixth man of the year this year. And this guy can be the high scorer of a game at any moment. So the Celtics, again, they have a taller task at hand. You know, they've got the Heat do have more options. And yeah, sure, health is a question mark. They had some guys, you know, on and off the injury report in their last series against the Sixers. But the way Tyler Hero can shoot the ball, you can't go into these scoring droughts if you're the Celtics because, you know, you can't, you know, if you're Derek White, you really don't want to start a game 0-for-8 again. I mean, he got away with it today, and I know he hit that big three, but you're going to need some scoring off the bench to match what the Heat are going to give you. And I know Grant went full dummy mode today, but, you know, I don't know if you can expect the Heat to defend Grant the same way the Bucks tried to, if you want to even call it that. And the Bucks basically said, we're not going to defend Grant today. We're going to let him shoot whatever he wants to shoot. And it didn't work out. So I can't imagine the Heat are going to, take that blueprint.
I know.
My point is, you know, the Heat do have, more weapons that are going to, they're going
to
be.
They do, but you have to play to your strengths.
Right. Of course. And they have a better coach too. No offense.
When Hero's out there, you have to basically run him off the friggin' court and you attack.
He's
physical
with him too, yeah.
Because he can't friggin' defend. There's not a person out there he can defend. And so, I mean, this is a reason he's a sixth man, is because he's coming in there and you're trying to keep him from getting torched by someone like Jaylen Brown if he's in the starting lineup, which is exactly what would happen there. He'd get absolutely friggin' torched. So you have to attack him on defense and expose him. Yeah.
Over under fights between Marcus Smart and PJ Tucker. I'm going to put it at like 3.5.
No, I feel like those are two guys that just it's game respects game sort
not
of
like
thing.
Not like fist fights, but like, you know, like a little, it's going to be chippy out there. You know what I mean? Like it's going to be a physical match, you know. Grant's going to have his hands full with Tucker too, cuz Tucker's
yeah.
a big dude.
I mean, another one who, you know, we're talking about people who can't defend, you know, Duncan Robinson's basically off the team at this point. So he's a mess too. We'll bring in Joe Sway and get his take.
What up? What up?
You know, damn, son.
Free from the Brockton Wi-Fi using TD Garden Wi-Fi. Coming to you live, looking sharp as always. Josue, give us your takes on the game here. We've already moved on a bit to Miami, but we want you guys were there. You know, just how things went down here from your perspective.
Oh, man, it was incredible. Listen, for a guy in Grant Williams, that a team is just everyone in the building knew what was going on here. The Bucks were saying, look, just take it. Keep going. We don't think you can beat us. And he stepped up to the challenge. You know, he did a couple of those pump fakes in the first half. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, Grant, you have to take those. You can't show any hesitation there. Otherwise, this thing's not going to work. You know, whether they fall or not, just keep taking them. And then we'll you know, if you're the Celtics, your email, you'll figure it out after that. And of course, they did finally start to fall. But I think that what the Milwaukee Bucks overlooked is how contagious that is, especially for this Celtics offense, something that email talked about after this one. It's been the story of the second half, right? Their defense leading to offense, and this sort of shooting is contagious. And that was certainly the case here, you know, in game seven when it mattered most for guys like Tatum as well. I thought Jaylen Brown had one heck of a low key, great third quarter that people could have easily, if you weren't paying attention, you missed it. Like those 9 points in the third quarter, I thought were significant because it just kept the Bucks at bay. I thought those three threes in a row coming out of halftime was huge for the Celtics' momentum, huge for their spirit in the second half. I was feeling a little, you know, I was happy to see Mark get to the free throw line at the end of that first half, but I was like, look, they have to get out to a big start here in that third quarter. And that's exactly what they did, in my opinion. You know, they really set the tone.
Yeah, I agree, Josue. You know what it felt like? The reason it's hard to pinpoint, you know, like which effort mattered most, because this was one of those games where I actually felt everybody gave the game what it needed. You know, like Marcus Smart after a couple of games of kind of maybe trying to do a little bit too much. In game five, it burned them. And in game six, he did score a lot of points and they needed them and it worked in their favor. But we always like the Marcus who shoots fewer than 10 field goals and has a high assist number. And he had 10 assists today in only 9 field goal attempts. He was cold from three, a knockdown, a big one from the corner there late to just kind of, you know, ice it. But right. He was great doing exactly what he does. Defense, switching over to Giannis to avoid foul trouble for other guys. He was great. Horford didn't score a ton of points, but again, just phenomenal on the glass, you know, keeping the Bucks from kind of, you know, using their size advantage there. Obviously, is tremendous on Giannis. Same thing with Jaylen, just kind of what they needed when they need somebody to attack and somebody to be aggressive, particularly those times when he's out there on the court with Grayson Allen. He's just friggin' playing them off the court. Then Grant, what's he out there for? He's out there for friggin' shooting, you know? Even when Rob was healthy and he played early in the year, you had one game. Which game was it? Game two? At the four-minute mark. They're like, get him out, you know? Yeah. And it wasn't because he was awful and he wasn't great, but they just needed shooting here. They needed more people to knock it down. So when the shots weren't falling early, it was actually incumbent on Grant to keep shooting them because you work for those shots. That's his job. At this point, you count on him for it. It's different than a Derek White or a Daniel Tice three. Those are ones where you settle for because you're late in the clock, you worked it around, and that's the best shot you were going to get on this possession. But with Grant, you're looking to get him open there, and he freaking
started,
and that's his job.
And so, you know that's
You
know that's what Ime was saying. Like, listen, they're going to keep giving you this shot. It's pretty clear. I want you to take it.
You don't have to keep taking it.
That's exactly what he said in the post game. He said, I told him, look, keep shooting, keep going, because they're going to keep giving you that. Brook Lopez hasn't been chasing out to that 3-point arc all season. Nice. He's not going to start in game seven. So yeah, that was great for Ime to do that. And I, you know, going into this one, it was great news to find out that Robert Williams was available in this, but I thought that it was really important for everyone to notice what Ime said immediately after breaking that news. We're going to continue to do things the way we've been doing as if Rob is out. We're going to use Rob in a absolutely need to use basis. Otherwise, he's just there. You know what I mean? And I thought that was huge for, you know, not only to keep this Celtics momentum going, but also keep that confidence into Grant, right? Because, I mean, if you're Grant Williams, how would you feel if you start divvying up minutes when your plan of attack was to sort of establish that outside shot and sort of get things going for guys like Jaylen and Tatum? Like, I thought that for Grant Williams to go, you know, coming into this one where he hasn't been shooting the ball well, particularly well like he did in game two. We've been sort of hoping that we can see that same Grant Williams come back. I don't think you get that if you get if Ime was trying to find, you know, 12, 13, 14 minutes for Robert Williams in this one. You know, I don't know if we get the same sort of outcome that we got out of Grant Williams, which is a career performance, career high. And, you know, game seven, move over Kelly Olynyk. This is the one that they'll be talking about now, you know, over Kelly's game seven performance against the Wizards. No, this is the Grant Williams game. Game seven 18, against the Bucks.
18 three-point attempts for Grant Williams today. I mean, there's no way this dude woke up this morning thinking that he was going to be at, you know, shooting practice out there in the court today. But, man.
How about this for a quote?
Yeah.
Ime after this one says, on three-point attempts, I believe, according to him, Grant Williams is tied to Steph Curry for most attempts in a playoff game. And he was like, man, it's just two great shooters from North Carolina. You know, that's what that is. Two of the great shooters from you.
The worst part about it is Grant's just going to soak all this up. And his teammates are going to be like, shut this. Turn off his freaking mic.
Yeah,
Batman shirts and all that. All the merch.
Humble isn't the first word that comes to mind, I don't think, when you talk about Grant. But good for him. He deserves to, you know, have this one today. But, you know, they'll get back to work tomorrow. And because Tuesday is right around the corner, starting up this next series. So, very interested to see, you know, how the Celtics sort of change up their strategies and everything like that. I do want to know if Rob – did he say anything about Rob in the next series? Or are we still kind of like – we don't really know much about what his status is going to be. Did he mention anything about that, Josue?
I mean, it sounds like he's going to be available. You know, in terms of his health, he's ready to go, but I just don't think they're ready to just throw him into the starting lineup like that. I think they're going to start ramping him up a bit, getting him ready for this one. But on the other side of things, a bit of bad news, I guess. When I was making my way over here, I ran into Marcus Smart, and he had a boot on his right foot. I'm sure we'll hear more about that during media availability.
What?
Yeah,
How did you not leave?
I wanted to lead you guys with the good news before we get into moving on to Miami, I guess. But you guys were already talking about the Eastern Conference Finals. So, yeah, there's that. I'm sure we'll get some more news from Bobby. Bobby's still in there. I hopped out to join you guys. But, I bumped into the hall. I gave him one of these. He was just like, yeah, man. He's walking with two other guys. Obviously, they've been in a rush there. But he just gave me the shrug. And was just like on his way over to the presser.
That's not good.
Whoa! Come on, don't shoot the messenger here. What the Josue? What the f?
What the hell, Josue?
I didn't break the guy's
positive vibes only, bro. Positive vibes.
I'm just telling you what I saw with my own two. You know, jeez.
Was it a steel toe boot or was it like a walking boot?
Josue, why didn't you lead with that? It was a walking boot.
Okay, I was hoping that maybe it was like a work boot, because you know the hard hats, work boots, lunch pails type situation.
No. I wish he was doing, you know, a shout out to you, Jimmy, for what you do here on the post game show.
That's too bad. All right, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what that's all about. Maybe it's just, you know, precautionary. We just want to take the weight off of it. You know, he's banged up. Marcus Smart's probably got, you know, you could probably play connect the dots on Marcus Smart, and it would form his entire body. Like, his guy's got injuries at every which way. He puts his body on the line. He had a couple hard falls out there today.
Which foot was it on, Josue?
Slammed his face.
The right foot.
Yeah.
The right foot.
Yeah, the right foot. Yeah.
Interesting.
My guess is when he fell on his face, I guess. I'm not quite sure exactly.
That's a face, Josue.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, he was limping after he got up for a bit. Maybe he rolled it or something. I don't know.
I didn't
see him favoring his foot at all, pretty much, you know, throughout.
He got subbed out. He got subbed out with, you know, the rest of the starters there at the end. I didn't see him favoring anything.
And the way this new setup is back here, it's going to take him a bit to get to that, to the new press conference room. So,
doesn't the NBA come in now for Eastern Conference Finals, John, and take over? Or is that just for the finals?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Yeah. That's when we get the ice sculptures. I haven't seen the ice sculptures.
Yeah, you get the ice sculpture back.
Eastern Conference Finals.
You get some better media food.
You might if they haven't changed things, you might see
you guys are allowed to eat Bobby, now.
You might see Bobby and I on camera. Yeah, we're allowed to eat now, John.
Wow, that's cool.
It's really good.
I might have.
I'm laughing, but it's been like 2 weeks. But yeah,
really happy for you guys. Yeah, that's awesome.
You don't have to give us those. You don't have to give us petty cash anymore. No,
box lunches, right?
yeah, petty cash.
I'm making PB&Js for Bobby. Yeah.
It was Bobby's awesome. Go-to was the double burger that was like $20. All right,
damn. Way to go. You gotta be careful with the
there
media.
There we go.
You just gotta look around and see.
Here comes Bobby right now.
Eating media food too often in there. It's good.
No, no joke. All joking aside, man, Bobby's fit is real Bobby today. I mean, y'all see him in a second. Yeah. We're looking
for Miami Vice Bobby in on Tuesday, man. I'm thinking like white linen.
He's kind of got that vibe going right now. White. Maybe not the color. Maybe not the color pattern. But
Bobby Brasco, yeah, heading down to Miami.
Just a mustache, you know, maybe a little fedora. You know,
we have to get him SPF something.
Mr. 305.
One of those strong SPFs out there.
Yeah, we got to be getting different people for that.
But how are we feeling about this series? This is gonna be tough. I think Celtics fans are thinking that this is as tough as it gets with the Celtics going against Giannis.
I think so, but I also do think that the teams that make life hard for other teams are the hardest ones for the Celtics to play, you know, because it's like they're not perfect. They have to work really hard to get, to get things going offensively. The things you have going for the Heat, they're deep, they're extremely well coached. And they're not going to beat themselves, which means you've got to play it clean. And Milwaukee didn't beat themselves either. And I don't think Bud, puked all over himself from a coaching standpoint either. But Milwaukee was just limited in what they could do. And I know, again, I'm not using the Middleton thing entirely as an excuse, but the ripple effects with him being out are enormous. And he's Boston's Jaylen Brown, it would have been harder there without that second option. Just the weight on your star is just so great. There would have been really difficult, just for one person to shoulder the load the entire time. But yeah, I don't think it's easy by any means. I felt like Milwaukee had that kind of, again, same thing with Brooklyn, which seems like a zillion years ago, but I mean,
I know, doesn't it?
It's the cheat code players that you always think that, like, all things break down. You've got these guys who just win games individually, and we're used to individuals, superstars putting superstar performances and just, carrying teams, entirely on their own. And each of the first two opponents had those guys. Miami doesn't as much, and I think that's why you don't fear them, because you're like, we're a better team than those guys. And I think that's generally what people are thinking here. Again, I could be wrong, but I mean, I think that's it.
I just think they could be a tougher team on the defensive side of things, and that really limit the Celtics. Especially because we talked about this throughout this series, where if the Celtics, the 3-point shots aren't falling for the Celtics, that they're a much different team offensively. I mean, that goes without being, that's obviously, that's stating the obvious, right? But when you look at a team like Miami that can really buckle down defensively and got guys that can get going, like Tyler Hero and of course Jimmy Butler, and you look down the list, I just think they could be a deeper team against the Celtics, which sometimes I feel like are the ones that are sort of can really handle the Celtics. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you don't have the risk factor, like that one guy where you have to sort of defend lightly, but then also look out for his shooters. I think the Heat are a little more, they're deeper than that, right? They're deeper than this Bucks team, especially a team without a Chris Middleton in there.
Yeah, and they're good, man. They're a tough team. I'm still gonna go Celtics here, but I just don't know. I don't think it's easy. I think this is gonna be really frustrating same. Here.
Why would it be easy?
I don't feel like you're going even if the Bucks were better or tougher, and I'm not certain of that. That was my vibe going in, and again, I do think the Middleton factor changes that. A lot, just having watched 7 games of it now, you realize how hard it was actually for Milwaukee to win this series. They came as close as they were going to come. I don't know that they could have done much more than they did, because, again, they just looked limited. We're going to bring in Bobby, too. But I don't know. That's my vibe. What's up, Bobby?
What's going on? The season continues.
People are begging for an apology. We're not going to make you do it, though. We are, however. No, we're not. Are we?
You're going to do something.
I don't know if
I'm going to. All right, fine. Can I do something? Can I do one thing?
Go ahead. His birthday?
Do
this it. This was after game 5.
Bobby!
Oh. Hold on.
Oh, I thought this was the clip.
Please work.
I'm trying.
Please work.
Is anything happening yet?
I see a frozen screen of them.
It's frozen. Hit play.
I'm trying.
It's outdated. You got to show the more recent one.
Now it's a mini box.
What?
Now it's joined us. Okay, now it's taken over.
Damn it.
Everyone knows what I said. We don't got to watch it. Let's get right into it. Again, they're lucky to get out of game 4 with a...
Finish that line.
When the series could be over tonight, and here it is. I guess this is what everyone's waiting for. This series is over. Giannis stole it from you.
You're calling it over?
Yep. This is my fear coming in, that Giannis is going to be too good.
Yeah, that Jimmy was, though.
Too experienced in these moments and too hard playing of a player to go down without a fight. And again, you said in this one, almost a reflection of what the Celtics did in game four.
Okay. That's it.
Well, I'll give it to you guys, because right after that loss, you were all confident still. All
it wasn't confident.
Absolutely. I don't want to hear from the parade of the faithful in the chat who absolutely weren't.
John, put the apology cam up right now.
No, I'm not doing that to him. I'm not doing that to him.
Oh, now you pissed off Jimmy. Now Jimmy.
No, I'm not doing that to him.
You said it was over.
Yeah, I did. So they go out for game six. They go out for game six.
Yeah, right.
Whatever.
They go out for game six, and I did think it was over. So there's that. And I guess that's warranted of an apology cam. But once we got out there and we saw what Giannis was looking like midway through that game, which was falling to the floor, taking a few minutes, getting a delay of game, disappearing through the middle stretch of that game, all of a sudden my antenna went up and I said, he's about to hit empty here. And he had one last charge late in that game, a mild charge early in this one, mostly passing the ball. And then he hit empty, and that was the series. There was too much of a burden on Giannis. The Celtics wore him down. And here's what I'll apologize for. Coming into this series, I said Giannis is never going to stop. The motor's never going to stop running. He's never going to hit E, and the Celtics got him there. So that, to me, is what surprised me most coming out of this series. They drove him into the ground. They locked down all of the players on the other side not named Giannis. And they said, all right, go ahead and beat us, Giannis. If you can score 100 points, go do it. And he scrapped out a few wins, but they ultimately had the perfect game to beat the Bucks here. Yeah. And that surprised me, because I think start to finish in this series, they were the much better team. I thought this was going to be a dead even series, go right down to the wire in the last game. And they ran right through the finish line. This game was over at the end of the third quarter. And that's what I'll apologize for. The Celtics
so here's the thing.
Actually in the end
here's why I'm not calling for an apology. An apology is a dead wrong take, okay? Not a bad prediction. And beyond that, the reason people are mad is because they want Bobby to be a homer fan and not somebody who objectively just looked at what was going on and made his own educated and formulated his own educated opinion. It's not Bobby's job to be a fan, so get off his freaking back, okay?
No. My thing is the way he goes back and forth.
Let him pick the Bucks.
It's his job to be right, though, and he was dead wrong.
If a series goes one way, he'll flip. Yeah, but you don't flip. All right, you stick with your guns.
It's not a prediction.
I don't know. I thought the Bruins are going to beat the Canes, and I watched the games. And after six games, I'm like, they're never going to go to Carolina and win. They're not going to do it. I changed my prediction there. Like, he watched it. He saw what he saw. He made his call. I'm not forcing someone to apologize for that. People are just mad that he picked against the Celtics, which is okay to do. He's a journalist. Okay.
And I did.
I don't think that's why people are mad.
If you want to talk about switching, I did switch back.
He switched. Watched it. And he had a different opinion. Yeah, that's
obviously,
okay.
But
that's
obviously John's going to like defend the non-apology so that he never has to have one.
No, in this case, I don't think we apologized over Grant. We opened the show with a three-way Grant apology, by the way.
We had apology cam that ended up being a one-way apology cam on me somehow, but we did open the show with an apology cam. Bobby, I'll accept your owning up to misreading the way that the Celtics
Bobby, you
obviously were out of every game. I mean, are you surprised at how the Celtics responded to that game five loss? And you know, what's the word, you know, like what how are you feeling about them now? Like, is your opinion changed on them?
I was very surprised with how they executed their offense in that fourth quarter of game six, held off that run, which again, 8 minutes ago in game six, the Bucks are within four. They're right there about to take the series. And they got in some good sets. They ran that nice small ball lineup that I thought, again, looked good in this one, but it was more Grant this time around that worked.
and they just were methodical in how they broke this team down. And again, you always do this, oh, did the Celtics win the series, Bucks lose the series thing? Obviously, it's always both. But man, the Bucks look so stupid in the end, just letting the Celtics fire away from three. And again, here's something else I misread in game six. I thought you couldn't do it again. You hit every three in that game, just avalanche of deep shots. And in this game, you started slow, but you got so many reps from out there, especially Grant, who in the end shot, what, 18 from deep? Found his footing early. They kept leaving him wide open. And he has the game of his life. So you could shoot your way out of the series. I didn't think that would be possible either, but the Celtics did it. The Bucks never adjusted. They kept Allen in the game, and they just drove Giannis into the ground. I don't know if they had any other options, but the Celtics did end up exploiting the Bucks defense in the end, ran their offense exceptionally. And yes, to answer your question, Jimmy, not shocked, but surprised with how the Celtics responded, given how game five ended. And Deuce is on the podium now, as I can see.
Oh, yeah, God, I don't. If you leave this show to go talk to Deuce, that's it.
No, I'm sticking around. It's already right. Midway through.
Did Marcus go? What did Marcus say?
He didn't go. Grant went. It's Grant, Tatum.
Because Marcus went to the friggin' emergency room because he's wearing a boot.
Yeah, we got take this off. Take we got this word off. That Marcus is wearing a boot, Bobby. Did you see that too?
Well, he did fall on his face. I didn't see any leg injuries.
That's again, these are different parts of the body.
What is it with you guys? They're journalists. They're clearly not doctors, thank God.
No, I'm saying the way.
Yeah, he did fall on his face. That's right. That would explain the boot.
Yeah. Checks out.
That does check out.
To my credit. I said he fell, and then maybe something happened after he fell on his face. I didn't say the face.
No,
was
it couldn't have been that play.
Directly related to his foot.
Although he did kind of get undercut on that play, right? Who knows? Obviously,
yeah, that's what I'm
the
saying.
And he didn't go to the podium, but yeah, I wish you relayed that to me. That would have been a good question, Josue. But anyway, we'll work on that.
I text you. I literally said, I sent you a text immediately. I said, "Heads up, Marcus."
I think I was daydreaming about Miami.
Yeah, you were doing that Bobby thing.
Wow,
days
Bobby
off.
Trying to put Josue on blast when Josue actually
yeah,
did
for real.
Exactly what you wanted him to do.
That's right, he did. I didn't check the timestamp.
Bobby, you gotta you
were the first person I text like immediately after I talked to him.
Bobby, apologize to Josue.
Yeah,
that's more than an apology.
apologize for that shirt too. You look like a hot dog, man.
I love that shirt. Guys, enough.
You better come collected to Miami, dude. You better be ready for Miami.
We only got one day to pick stuff out, but that is gonna be important, Jimmy.
Bobby. Yes, very important.
We've seen the hat
like
in the Vegas. We've seen the jacket and the wind. What's gonna be next?
I want you to go freaking crazy with Miami attire, Bobby. I'd be disappointed if we're not talking about it for 6 months from now.
Oh, I'm dying because I was thinking mustard.
I need something to be bracket material off of this Miami.
Think we were gonna get. And again, I've never been to Miami. It's eluded me. I almost went to college there. There's been various road trips. I didn't make
yes,
it down there.
You told me that. That's crazy.
This is going to be special, this road trip covering
Bobby,
this series.
Got a first
time just 2 days away.
SPF cream cheese, man. It gets pretty hot down there, dude. I don't want to see you burning up on the show, man.
I heard you guys talking about this series. We might as well get into it. What a perfect opportunity, right? I compared it, John, to Brady against the Ravens. All those issues Brady had against the Ravens, early 2010s. Tatum against the Heat feels like the same deal. Like, this is the team. This is the matchup that he needs to overcome. Brutal loss in 2020 to prevent him from going to his first finals. Now you get a chance for revenge. And Grant was talking about that just a few minutes ago. He was part of that series as a rookie, played a ton, obviously, as we remember, at center in that series. And they get a chance to get back for a really frustrating loss, and they're in a much better place now as a team. I think they're very well suited to beat the Heat. And honestly, I don't want to say I'm not worried about it, but I think they match up really good with the Heat. The Heat have struggled to score on them all year. It's a very, I don't want to call it stagnant offense, but deliberate half-court offense. It's really centered around Butler getting off those mid-range shots and finding guys for threes. We saw the Celtics shut off the Bucks from three-pointer for the whole series. All seven games, the Bucks never got going from three.
So you're worried about attacking that Heat offense, the zone. Still something that could give the Celtics fits here.
It's always right?
We'll definitely see the zone. We'll definitely see the zone defense.
I don't want to be here for zone tweets because everyone just loses their mind.
Well,
as soon
if the Celtics struggle, you're going to see it more and more often. Like Eric Spoelstra is not afraid to pull that
card. Oh, my God. They're doing this thing that, like, I do with with my 9-year-old daughter's team. It's a zone. Oh, my goodness gracious.
They can't solve the zone.
It's an annual tradition. It's almost like you see a cow when you drive by a cow and like the farm, you say, oh, look at cow. It's like you see the zone, you're like, oh, look, it's the zone.
You got to be able to break it. And this is another series where you hope Rob gets back on his feet. I think he's important for this one. He didn't end up being important for this one. I think he helps you backside in this series. And sounds like he's doing better. You may just talked about his status.
So what's the latest there?
Yeah, so they felt like he could go, but they just want to keep him in a situational role for this one just because Al, Grant, and honestly Tice, who I thought had a low-key solid performance in this one. Those three were getting it done against Giannis inside. And if we remember back to the early portion of this series, some people were tweeting at me the off-ball defense that Rob was playing early on was kind of underrated, and I do think that was part of how Giannis really got going later in the series. But individually, he was getting picked out by Giannis, and
What we really need to pay attention to is when you mention Tice, you have to point out that he only played 6 minutes, and that's,
he had that block though.
Dude, when Horford went out in the second, there's two stretches there. When Horford went out at the end of the first half, and Tice had to come in, and you knew he had to finish those 3.5 minutes, and Giannis is in the game. I was pretty nervous, and he acquitted himself extremely well there. And then obviously the 7.5 minutes without Tatum was the ball game really, because that was Milwaukee's opportunity to close, and the Celtics extended the lead. But all I'm pointing out to is not the quality of minutes. It's the minutes. 6 minutes means you had to play Al 40 again, you know? And since
Al
that
got worn down, didn't he?
And again, he's doing everything he can and absolutely been a monster, regardless of what the box score says in terms of points. You know, you're not going to get those 30-point games from him, but 6 points, 2 points, 8 points since the 30-point game there on seven field goal attempts, you know, that's kind of more in line with what you're going to expect with Al. But over 30, 35 minutes, he's doing that last three games. I mean, this entire season series, 40, 38, 41, 42, 39, 37, 36, massive minutes. So again, you need Rob, if only to mix it up a little bit. You know, even if Rob is going into a 10, 12, 15, 18 minute role off the bench and you stay with Grant Williams, or you go with a 3-guard lineup, depending on what the Heat throw out there, and you throw in Derek White and play Pritchard some more second unit minutes earlier in the game, Rob's important. So you definitely want to see him.
Yeah, you want to have that starting lineup back together.
I don't know if you'll never get it again. Here's the thing, though. If Rob's never going to be right, that bone bruise is going to cause pain and a little bit of swelling, and he's never going to be, you know, the Rob he was before the meniscus surgery.
Good in warm-ups.
At least not this year. We talked about this before. I think Rob's the type of player who is 50% less effective if he's even remotely limited physically. So I don't love starting him. I actually just want him in there to take the Tice minutes at this point and be a second unit big. And I think stick with what you've got right now.
6 minutes?
Better. No, not quite, but I'm saying 12, 15 minutes of spell out.
It's going to be tricky.
Yeah.
It's going to be tricky. He didn't look good in warmups, just tossing up a few light shots. He came out of the locker room late and he obviously didn't play. So I don't love
I don't think he's starting again. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't love where he's at with 2 days to go until the series starts. And this whole series is going to be every other day. No layoff in this one at all. So.
I also don't think Rob is as close as they made it out. I think Rob was – it was a
– they want him in there for the rebound.
Today it was, what does it hurt if we dress him? Yeah. It's go home if you lose. So might as well, even if he doesn't play, why not have him in uniform instead of street clothes if I absolutely need it? But I don't know.
You got to think there was some regret they didn't have him on the line in game 5 when they gave up that rebound.
That's what I think. I would have just dressed him and not played him each of those games. If you just needed a minute, he must have been in pretty considerable pain. I mean, and he was available, but he wasn't able to play. What's up, Josue?
Nothing. No, just got really
blinded by the lights.
No, yeah, yo, for real. I honestly think it has a lot more to do with momentum. You know, I think if Grant wasn't getting those shots to fall, you know, maybe he would have mixed it up a bit. He may have been forced to mix it up a bit, but I just didn't see the sense of throwing him in there in a game seven and having him play, you know, 12, 13, 14 minutes a night. It just didn't make sense. You know, I didn't think he would have matched the intensity of his teammates because we already saw glimpses of him in the series and he didn't look great. And I don't think all those days off would have helped going into this scenario, but I guess the Miami Heat, I think we see more of him. I think you want to counter that, you know, what Bam Adebayo means to the Heat. I mean, I know he's not the same player we've seen, but on the defensive end, I think he can cause fits for the Celtics. You know, that's something that you want to have as an advantage if you're the Celtics, is someone in Rob that can help protect the rim and also just craw the paint a bit, you know, make it harder for the Heat to get their buckets, you know, especially someone like Jimmy Butler who can attack and, you know, certainly likes the mid-range shot as well, but can also attack and get to the rim in a hurry.
Yep.
Here's an early preview of the Miami outfit.
I love
everything. Hey, there we go.
Damn. Miami.
I love everything about this. Yes.
Bobby, what are we shooting on? Okay. Drive.
So, Sway, I saw you had some trouble with the lights turning on there. I really got to protect my eyes. I don't know. Does anyone else here have blue eyes?
You're shining right now.
I got hazel eyes, I think, so I'm
yeah, teetering. Blue eyes.
Whoa, whoa, excuse me, Jimmy. You said hazel.
Yeah, sorry.
Don't get it twisted.
I don't know if you guys can tell. Don't let me get up to the camera. I don't have that.
Look out, ladies. Yeah, I'm loving the way this lighting is right now, though. I'm not
going to lie. Blue eyes is in the sun. So these are going to be critical. You're right, Jimmy. Sunscreen. Man, I'm going to need like 90. I really am.
Yeah. No, we're going to get you Philadelphia cream cheese. Just rub it all over your face.
Just don't bring the Vegas hat. That's for Vegas only. All right? That's for Vegas only.
Well, I'm gonna have, like, on
we're gonna need something.
Interview.
Yeah, we're gonna have Bobby interview. Looking like Mike, like Mike Lowry out there.
It's gonna be all over his nose, just like.
Okay. I don't know if the Vegas hat.
Bobby's gonna do.
We'll need something.
Bobby's gonna have the button up on buttons while he does his reports. Miami style.
Totally.
By the water.
Oh, what a great matchup! Yeah, I love this.
SPF 900. I love it.
This is gonna be awesome. I don't know where
Bobby's
you guys
gonna
are
come
at.
Out with his own SPF after this.
I don't want to
merch.
I usually feel like I have a pretty good feel for teams around the league. I just don't get the Heat, and I don't want to.
You don't love Miami, and you haven't feared them all year.
Dogging them since the beginning of the postseason. Pretty much,
I just
you were
don't
like,
get it.
Get past the Bucks, and you're in the finals, pretty much, with the Celtics.
Larry's on one leg. And again, I know they're deep, and these guys like Max Strus come up and get it done. That's the story of their team. But it's Butler shooting twos, and it's Hero shooting 44%, and Tucker jacking a few threes, and Bam has some monster games sometimes. That's the guy you really fear. But I don't know. Their offense to me is just really rigid in the half court. And look at the Bucks in this series; their numbers in the half court were ghastly, like 84/100. Transition, if you keep the Heat out of transition, I think you could get this series in 5-6 games. I really do. Now, you worry about their toughness, you worry about their grit, you worry
that
about all those
that prediction
things.
Is subject to change after a game one loss.
Oh, come on.
Or game five.
I think no matter how many games it is,
that's what I mean. See, that's what drives me nuts. Not about the
prediction. Think the expectation, regardless of how many wins it takes, you're not going to complain if it takes 7 again, but you should beat this team in my mind. You're the better team. You're the more well-rounded team, I think. And your defense, even though theirs is really good too, really showed that it's still the best in the league here.
I got to say, though, tipping your hat to Miami, you know, they weren't wire to wire, but they were a top team all year long, and they had to endure injuries in and out all season long, and they stayed there. They never had a dip. You know,
they had a load management game.
Durant goes out, Brooklyn loses 10 friggin' straight. Chicago had some injury problems. They completely fell apart. You know, like, Miami had a bunch, and they hung in there the whole time. I mean, they just did a whole series without Lowry, and I know obviously the Embiid thing negates that, but they don't miss a beat. They're really resilient team. So again, they're going to be tough. It's a tough team and a tough series. Like I said, the coaching and all of that stuff, I just don't think they're going to beat themselves.
No, and you always wonder, this might be the series, just real quick, Jimmy, where I think Ime was obviously better in round one.
Clearly Ime the better coach, each of the rest.
Better in round two. I think you can say, and then round three is probably the first time that
you're looking at a coaching matchup where the other guy's got the upper hand pretty firmly.
At least on,
I don't know how big of a gap it is.
Pedigree but, and reputation. I trust Ime, you know, for sure, because everything he's done, I think, has paid out this year.
Yeah.
I think you
got Jimmy.
I mean, when it comes to predictions, I don't know if I have a number, if I have a, you know, Celtics and what, but I've been pretty consistent all along that I'm riding with the Celtics all the way until the end. I just like the way that they've been playing. I like their mental toughness right now. After that game five loss, I think they believe in each other. They were the hottest team in the NBA going in the playoffs. It's kind of like in football, you know, like if you're hot going in, you know, you can beat any team. And, you know, it's a little bit different in a seven game series. In football, you can, a hot team can ride all the way to the Super Bowl. But in basketball, you know, a fundamentally sound team, team that plays tough on both ends of the court like the Celtics do. They're young, you know, they can withstand, you know, a long playoff, you know, series here, or a number of series now.
Yep.
You know, Al aside, they're all pretty young out there and you know, the peak physical condition. So I like their health compared to the Heat's health, certainly. Well, these are all things that work in their favor. They're riding high right now, coming off a big series win where they had to win two must-win games, biggest games of their careers, and they all showed up. And they're all showing up at different points. Today was Grant. Pritchard showed up huge at a couple points. You know, we talked about, you know, Tatum was just a regular kind of Tatum today, but he did have some moments in the game where, you know, he looked like Tatum. And then Jaylen Brown, I thought, was a steady hand today, you know, when Tatum was a little bit, you know, kind of hindered with foul trouble. So everyone's kind of chipping in at points. They're going to get they're getting, you know, we're back into this. There's really not much time here. You're starting back up again on Tuesday. So you almost have like today to sort of, you know, enjoy the win. And then tomorrow you're full on to Miami and you're probably going there, you know,
Can the Celtics do the Celtics? Okay. What I love about this team and what they showed me this series, which we needed to see, was the resiliency. When old December Celtics habits creeped in and they did pop up a few times during the series, and you know, could have cost them the series. At each time they dug deep, with the exception of game five, and did what they had to do. It was pretty impressive. Throw game one out. I don't think they were ready there. I don't know if it's a layout or whatever. It's a real crap game, but every game after that, they really could have won them all. Even when they were down, they were never out. So I like the resiliency, but I'll ask you guys this question. Do they have enough discipline to not do the Miami thing when they're in Miami?
Yes, they do. Ooh, and again,
that's a great question.
This goes back to Ime leading the charge now. I think that they respect each other and they respect Ime enough where they have a task at hand. It's a business trip, you know.
That's Miami's home court advantage, not the fans. It's the city of – it's being in Miami and what it does to people.
John, they don't have time to screw around. They fly in, they play. They have one game in between. They play the game.
I didn't know that's what you were getting at, John. Am I worried about – the issues from game five and their stagnancy creeping up? Yes. I'm not worried about them getting into in Miami.
I'm more worried about these, you know, finals. Bobby and Joe Sway in Miami than I am about the
Celtics. Yeah.
Yeah. Bobby's never been to Miami. I don't know. He might go left.
I think that's the bigger concern, John. Tatum, Brown, they've been there before. They know how to handle it. Meme. Keep an eye out.
How's Grant going to handle Miami? I'm worried about Grant.
At 100 miles an hour, we know.
Hungover Bobby.
That's right. That series was in the bubble, yeah.
All right. So, not enough time to marinate. I'm not going to put everybody on the spot to do predictions here. What I'll tell everybody at home, check out clnsmedia.com. We'll put up a predictions post, and we'll give you our thoughts on what we think the series is. We want to give it some thought, look at some of the matchups, find out a little bit more about what's going on with Marcus Smart, find out what's going on with Rob as well. Before we do all of that, I want to give everybody once again a quick shout out, you know, to our sponsor, Calm, number one sleep and meditation app, mental wellness. If you want mental wellness, which we all do, we strive for it, go to calm.com/garden, receive 40% off a premium subscription. You're talking about things that are going to help you get your mind and therefore your body right. Sleep stories, sound effects, music, all sorts of different things that'll just kind of get you chill, get you relaxed, and get your mind and body right. Yeah. So check out calm.com/garden. As we said, the Heat stuff will have predictions coming up later. Guys, any thoughts you want to throw out there before we wrap it?
I don't see anything on Marcus Smart with a boot. So we might have Joe Sway may have broken that news. I think he's the only guy who had it. I don't see anything on Twitter about a boot.
I have not seen it either, Joe Sway.
Did he speak already?
I don't think
he didn't speak.
No, I think he left.
So nobody knows what that's all about. So we're gonna
he was heading towards the stage. So I thought that's what he was gonna do.
Yeah, yeah. Grant ended up coming instead, and then Brown and Tatum.
He probably
hopefully
he didn't go to the hospital. Anything like that. But
how good do you feel about that boot, Josue?
I kind of wish I took a pick.
But you're certain it was a walking boot.
I'm certain, 1,000%.
Right foot.
I went myself. Right foot.
Right foot. You sure you're right? Your right's in your left, because when you're looking at somebody.
No. When John asked me the first time, I thought about it, I was like, right. His right, my left. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna just keep our fingers crossed and wait until
the
NEHB injury report comes out on Twitter. Everyone holds their breath and they wait for the report hashtag or whatever. But hopefully he's not on it.
List Frank Fracture out for the season.
Oh yeah, boy.
John, what
now
the?
I'm about to have my mentions.
I'm popping. Sorry.
Sean just said
I'm muting you for that, John.
This guy over here said he saw Marcus on a boot. If Marcus is here, I'm gonna be mad at you.
No, you don't mute me.
You don't mute me, I mute you.
Yeah, I put it out there, buddy. We gotta get that out there.
That's true. It's facts.
Yeah. Reporters facts report.
What the hell are we doing? Yeah, you guys are
facts,
supposed to be
out
there doing that stuff, right?
Facts, dog. All right, so Celtics fans are bullish. Heat fans are telling us we don't know what we've got in store for us. I do love it.
Heat fans?
Some Heat fans crawled into this a little bit here, for sure.
I don't want to do what we did in 2020. Yeah, I mean, didn't we all
get at the fans?
Didn't we all go into that series saying, oh, the Celtics are going to blow by them. We're going to the finals.
Oh, wow.
I think they were better than them that year. I think they played better than them that year.
Kemba got hurt.
The Hayward thing hurt them for sure. Yeah. I think the Celtics, you want to talk about, as Jimmy was alluding to earlier, people saying Tatum and Brown aren't ready. Yeah, maybe they weren't ready then. Okay, I do think they're far more ready now, and that's why the resiliency, that they showed in this series is, I think, the difference between, what they went through last time when they faced Miami. So I feel good about it. I really do.
I do too.
All right.
And again, not even so much the opponents. Is I am choosing to believe in the Celtics team right now. Until I said I was going
to. I think that's a fair way to look at it.
All the way to the NBA Finals. I'm not willing to say that they are my pick for that yet. I depend on who comes out of the West and all that stuff. But I do like them in the series. I like the way they're playing. I like their attitudes. I like what Ime's been able to get out of these guys. I don't think them going to Miami is going to mean anything at all in terms of like anyone like not focusing on what's at hand here. I don't believe in that. I'm ready to go. Tuesday night. Mark your calendars, clear the night, take Wednesday off. It's going to be a late one. And then we got game 3 at home Saturday night in Boston. Next weekend is
8:30 starts. So we're going to be
Electric City, USA.
Late night, but it helps us with Australia a little bit, right?
Yeah, we're going to be up late. I mean,
we'll be up late. We'll be doing shows every time. Crazy. Yeah. Sure. Once again, just giving you guys a heads up for those here. And again, there's still well over, 2,000 people hanging out here. We appreciate you guys joining us for this post game show.
Thank you, many of you.
We hit 3K. Just right earlier today, we hit 3K.
Yeah, 3,200.
That's big. It was appreciate good. You guys.
So we do appreciate everybody. We appreciate it more if you subscribe to our channel. Go out, check out some of the other videos. Give us a bunch of likes, comment. Yeah. We love the interaction. Also, if you want, you can go check out our Discord. Situation.
You can slide into Joe's DMs.
CLNSmedia.com/Discord. The chat is always going there. We may join it.
Not taking anyone to Miami. All right.
Yeah, we might do a Twitter Spaces as well sometime before this series begins. Give everybody our thoughts. But again, keep it with CLNS Media the rest of the playoffs. We're going to the finals. So let's just keep this thing rolling,
Celtics
right?
To the balls.
Let's go.
Because the Celtics are the balls. Game 2. Game one, sorry, Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. in Miami. We'll be here live immediately following the game. So thank you guys again for watching, and we'll see you.